You're listening to a sermon from the Mission Church in Shelby Township, Michigan. It's our prayer that today's word would challenge you, inspire you, and build your faith. Enjoy the sermon.
And so as I begin my sermon today, that's like the pre-sermon, today again is week 2 of our series, Journey to a Deeper Faith. And in this series, we're unpacking this concept called Stages of Faith. Before we open up the scriptures, just as we think about our lives as human beings, right, we go through stages. I was talking earlier to the Rowling family, baby Grace, 2 years old, right? You start off, all of us start off, you're born and you're a baby. And then you grow up into being a toddler. And then we grow into being a young child, older child, a tween, which a tween wasn't even like a concept when I was growing up, but now it is. Then you go to be a teen, right? And then you're a young adult, and then you're an older adult, and then you're an even older adult, and then you get in your golden years, right? And it's a progressive stage of development. We aren't born and stay the same. And the same concept is true for our spiritual journey, or at least it should be. Except there's a key way that is different when it comes to stages of faith, because in our normal development, in the physical, we can never go back. There's this saying in the culture that I heard, and I didn't laugh much at it, but now I like say amen to it, especially as I'm now over 50 years old, the phrase, youth is wasted on the young. Like, amen, preach that. Anybody who's my... Youth is wasted on the young. You there's time. I would love to go back to just being a teenager, like maybe for a couple days, or a child, and have not the responsibility and all that. Yeah, as you get older, just it's a progression, right? With the stages of faith, we can circle back. With stages of faith, it's normal to circle back to a previous stage. In fact, there's an invitation of the Holy Spirit to do that over and over and over again. So here's a graphic of the 6 stages of faith, and it's a circle intentionally. Even though they're numbered stages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's a circle because we don't just go in a line, one to the next, and then don't ever go back, but we continue to go around the circle and even circle back. And every time... Today, I'm going to be preaching on stage 1. Every time you go back to stage 1, God gets bigger. Every time you go back to stage 1, God gets greater. And I'm going to share briefly at the end of the sermon how there's part of my spiritual journey where I'm back at stage 1. So I'm practicing what I am preaching to myself as I'm preaching to you. And so stage 1 of the faith, as I prayed about it, the best title that I came up with was this one, Born Again, Again. Now, I was born and raised in the Catholic Church in Clinton Township, and I remember when I was growing up, I don't know like who taught me this, but this is a memory that I have. I don't know where I got it from, but I remember when I heard the phrase born again Christian, it was not a positive phrase to me. Born again Christians to me were like the Jesus freaks, and that was not a compliment in my mind. They were like the weirdo, over-the-top Christians, and I did not want to be one of those. It's funny how things have changed, right? But when I look back to my upbringing, and this is just me, this is my story, I was incredibly content with being very lukewarm in my faith. Going to church for an hour a week mattered as part of my upbringing, but I honestly thought that you were taking it a bit extreme if what you did at church experienced or impacted any part of the rest of your life. It's like, just go to church an hour, check the box, try to be a good person, and that's it. That's it. And so I judged those born-again Christians that were like, they were sold out for God. They talked about the Lord. Like, I remember going to college at Oakland University, and when I heard people talk about Jesus, I'm like, man, weirdo. Even though for a while I was still going to church. Then I became an atheist, and that's a whole other story. But But anybody who was like a born-again Christian, quote-unquote, who was on fire in their faith, I just judged them. I was fine being lukewarm. But we're going to learn as we open up the scriptures that the phrase about being born again, although it was a negative association for me, it should not have been, because it's a biblical phrase. Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, we should be all in. And so here's our passage, the biblical language. John 3, let me read it. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus that night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Signs meaning healings and miracles, supernatural stuff. Verse 3, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And he doesn't understand. So he says, "How can someone be born when they're old?" He asks, "Surely they can enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit. "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. There's a lot more to the passage, which I'd love for you to read on your own. But I do want to quote one more verse, the most well-known verse probably of the entire Bible, John 3:16. So in this dialogue, skipping down to John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's the verse that people have in the signs in the end zones of football stadiums, right? John 3:16. It's the gospel in one verse. Jesus is speaking in John 3, and he's explaining to a religious leader who knows the scriptures, but he's speaking not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. He's and unfortunately speaking right past this well-known and learned scholar. But Jesus is speaking of a spiritual rebirth. Because we're all born spiritually dead, separated from God, sin we inherit from Adam, and that we commit ourselves. And so there's a need for spiritual rebirth. It's taking the words of John 3:16 and realizing, yeah, God so loved the world, but God so loved me. God so loved you. And yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world, true, but he died for my sin, for your sin. And it's not enough to just believe in those facts. For years of my life, I just believed in those facts and I thought it was good enough. I'm going to church and I believe in those facts. I did not realize until I was in my 20s, I need to receive, I need to repent, I need to turn from my sin to Jesus. I need to accept his death on the cross as payment for my sin, making him my Lord, making him my Savior, making him my King. And a great way to do that is through praying. Again, so if, as I'm sharing this, if maybe the Holy Spirit's, like, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, and you're like, "Hey, you know what, honestly, this is the first time I've ever been in stage one, and I've never made that decision," that's one of the reasons why we have a prayer team at the end of the service. We'll pray for anything, pray for healing, pray for signs and wonders and miracles, and for God to move mountains. We love to pray to get you right with the Lord, a prayer of salvation. So you can come forward and say, "Hey, brand new stage one, and I want Jesus to be King and Lord. We'd love to pray with you." And by the way, if that's you and you're feeling that nudge, come up front before you go out to check out the Join the Team, because this is way more important. That's important too, but this first than that. So what you do is you accept Jesus, he becomes your Savior, your Lord, your King, and then Scripture says you're born again, you're spiritually reborn. The Bible talks about, Paul says to the Corinthians, you're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. So going back again to the circle graphic of the stages of faith that I shared up front. Stage one is at the 12 o'clock position, if we could see it back there. It's we discover God, and then we rediscover God. Like, we're in stage one, and then every time we go back to stage one, we rediscover something about God. We circle back because with God, there's always more. With God, we're always invited to go deeper. With God, we should never be content with where we're at with Him on our spiritual journey. With God, there's always more. And so with that in mind, I want to give you an action step right at the top of my sermon. It's a question for you to reflect on, to pray into. It's this. Was there ever something of God that you experienced that was so profound that it was almost like you were born again, all over again? I want to explain what I mean by that. And I want to do so by sharing a verse from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, John 14:2, just one verse, where Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Now, the context of this, when Jesus originally taught it, he's speaking of heaven. In my Father's house are many rooms, that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then when you die, you'll have a place in heaven. So that's the context. This verse, as I've prayed into it years ago, I felt like God made it a rhema word for me, meaning something beyond the original application. And here's just how I frame it. I think this as a word. It'll hopefully connect dots for you. Each aspect, the way I see it, each aspect of God could be seen as like a room in God's house. And in the Father's house, there are many rooms. And so there are truths that were always there, always in Scripture. But it's almost like in certain ways, in certain times, you're standing in the hallway of God's house. And there's rooms in God's house, but the doors are shut and you don't know what's in the room. You don't really know that room existed. And then you're invited by someone, you have an encounter where a door opens, you walk through that room in God's house, and you experience God in a new way. And that experience at times can be so profound, so incredible, like so amazing, like I don't have the adjective that, right, just amazing, right? It's almost like you're born again all over again. Like everything's new all over again. An example of this, one example for Kelly and me, is when we began going back in 2007 to Tuesday nights with Pastor Tim and Fran, Jesus the Healer, right down the road, Cass Avenue in Utica. Pastor Tim and his wife Fran, over a period of years for both Kelly and I, opened up two rooms in God's house for us. Shorthand, I call it the good room and the supernatural room. They drove home the fact, and you have to help me if you know this phrase, because Pastor Tim said it every single week. They helped drive home the fact that God is good. Okay, we're going to try that one more time like we actually mean it, because that was kind of... God is good. All right, well done. Pastor Tim and Fran drove that truth home, and they helped us believe God still heals today. God still heals today, that God hasn't lost his power. I didn't realize, and this will sound strange to you, by 2007, I had a Master of Divinity degree, went to seminary for 3 years, read my Bible. I'm on staff at a church, pastoral staff. But I realized through Tuesday nights that I had honestly a very non-supernatural faith. I had a very intellectual faith, but a non-supernatural faith. And so I'm reading the Bible, and it was like I was reading it with blinders on, where there's truths I read right past, just for fun, some homework. This is not an action step that's a slide, but go home and read just Mark chapter 1, just for fun. Read Mark chapter 1 and see how much supernatural is in just one chapter of one gospel. And so Pastor Tim and Fran, God used them to invite us into a room about the goodness of God. And they helped us to really believe that God is really good, like really good. And when we say God is good, he's even better than we think when we say God is good, like he's that good. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you read the Gospels, and Jesus was the healer. That's like part of like the full gospel, right? When he walked the earth, he healed everybody that came to him. And so Jesus, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, guess what? He's still the healer. He's still the healer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he uses us, the body of Christ, as his hands and feet, the one who lays hands and prays. Same Jesus. And so what we experienced on Tuesday nights, like, to take you back in time, when our daughter Faith, who is now at Liberty 18 years later, you know, but when Faith was a baby in her little car seat and we're taking her back in 07 and 2008, 2009, like the conversations Kelly and I had after we put Faith down to bed, it was just like, why did we not know this stuff before? Like, how do we miss it? How do we miss these obvious truths? So Tuesday nights had a massive impact in what we believed about God, what we believed was possible with God. It impacted how we prayed. We stopped praying safe prayers. So Tuesday nights made God bigger and more beautiful to us. Some of the fruit of Tuesday nights is what you're experiencing right now at the Mission Church. This truly is. This is fruit. Tuesday nights of Pastor Tim and Fran, Jesus the Healer, led to this church plant. It really did. And so, in essence, for Kelly and me, through Tuesday nights' experience, it's like we were being born again all over again. So the question is, that's our story. What about yours? Was there ever something of God where you experienced that was so profound, so incredible, so amazing, it was like that? It was like you're born again all over again. And I really pray, truly, you take this question home with you, you pray into it, and the Holy Spirit leads you on a sanctified trip down memory lane. And then hopefully there's a few instances of that where you were back in stage one and it was like everything was new. Hopefully that happened. That's happened a few times on your spiritual journey. If it hasn't, seek it out. Ask God. He's good. But were there moments where everything changed? Because something happened related to God or things of God that was so massive that you felt like you were born again all over again. That's an example, stage one. But what's also true when you go back to stage one, and I've gone back to stage one a number of times, they were not on that degree or level, but they were still significant. They still really mattered. Something that was really important, something that like the phrase I use, it marks you. Just it marks you. Maybe it was the first time you went on a retreat. Maybe it was the first time you went on a missions trip. Maybe it was the first time you put your faith in action and began to serve the poor like face to face. Maybe it was the first time you went to a Christian conference and you experienced things you never experienced at your church on a Sunday, but you experienced them there. Maybe it's the first time you started flowing in a certain gift, a spiritual gift that was dormant. Maybe it was when God did a miracle or a healing, a huge answer prayer in a way you could not deny that marked you. Maybe it's when you started coming to a new church, maybe this one. Or maybe it was something else. So I again encourage you, take this question home. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you on a sanctified trip down memory lane to those key moments, those key stage one moments when you revisited that stage, when you discovered God or rediscovered something about God. And so with that as our foundation, I now want to switch gears because as I preached and as I prayed into this sermon, I felt very spirit-led in the preparation. And I also felt the Holy Spirit say, and that's a really good trip down memory lane, but that's all in the past. Now let's talk about the now into the future. And so I felt the Holy Spirit say three words. What about now? What about now? Like, what about right now? Because again, stage one, the stage of faith, we discover God, we rediscover him. So here's an action step for you looking in the future. How's the Holy Spirit inviting you to circle back to stage one right now? Right now. What is something, and I pray as I'm just gonna give some examples, the Holy Spirit like just breathes on one of them to you, and you're like, that's my action step. That's my invitation from the Holy Spirit. Or maybe as I'm sharing some examples, the Holy Spirit gives you a whole other one. Then take that one. But what is something maybe you need to press into when it comes to your spiritual journey? It could be a spiritual gift that you are not activated in, you aren't flowing in, but you need to, according to Paul, eagerly desire, 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, right? But any spiritual gift. Maybe there's an invitation to pursue it. Maybe it's a way to put your faith in action. Maybe it's a tough question you've always had about God or Bible or theology, and it's been like a splinter in your mind. It's been bothering you even more. Maybe it's a Christian author, and it's one you don't normally read for one or another reason. We all have our reasons. Maybe it's an aspect of God that you ignored that you need to press into, like Kelly and I did. And what's crazy about Tuesday nights, we didn't even know we were ignoring it. It was just a non-category. Until we got invited on Tuesday nights, we sat in the back in case they pulled off the snakes, you know, and we're like, you know. But we didn't even, like, God was pursuing us in that, the providence of God. Maybe it's an aspect of God that you've ignored, that you need to press into. Maybe it's something you need to do that's so important that you need to stretch your faith, but you've allowed fear of man, fear of rejection, to keep you from doing it. And as I said, any of those, if your heart started beating faster and you felt like the Holy Spirit would say, that's yours, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of it. How is the Holy Spirit inviting you to circle back to stage one right now? And like every sermon, my goal is to practice what I'm preaching. And so here's how I'm practicing what I'm preaching with stage one. About a week, 10 days back or so, I picked up this book, which could function also as a doorstop if you need it. Providence by John Piper. It's 720-some pages. This is where I'm at right now, about 200 pages into it. And I normally do not read books by John Piper. I just don't. But I felt, again, primarily through dropping off faith at the Liberty campus, and just as I've been taking that trip down memory lane and thinking through all of the providential things that God did to line up her getting there. It's a crazy story. Like someday it could be a testimony to share. But I've been pressing to and processing that, and just for some very personal reasons, processing that, I felt this nudge. Hey, aren't you preaching about rediscovering God? Yes, Lord. There's a book. I knew which one. I knew it existed. And it's like 700 pages. So who wants to read that? I do. And it's stretching me. I'm chewing the meat and spitting out the bones like we do with all books beyond the Bible, right? But that is a way. That is a way. It's stretching me that I'm in stage one. And it's good. It's good. So that's why I'm practicing when I'm preaching. So the question is, what about you? What truth about God? What point of theology? What way to put your faith in action? What spiritual practice? What experience? How is the Holy Spirit leading you to circle back to stage one right now? So last week, if you were here, I shared again. I said it was week one, and I mentioned at that point of the calendar, it was 100 days from Thanksgiving week. And so I asked the question, it was an invitation for you to pray into and say, where do you want to be 100 days from now? Where do you want to be spiritually? How deep do you want to be with God 100 days from now? I shared how for all of us, one day at a time, are going to tick off the calendar. Seven of them have ticked off since last week, one day at a time. A lot can change or can't change in 100 days, depending on what you choose to do. And so as we began the series last week, I said, okay, 100 days from now, how deep do you want to be with God? And so since that was a question I asked last week, here's the updated version of it. How deep do you want to be with God 93 days from now? Just as a fun fact, my notes said 83. Apparently, I can't do math anymore. Thankfully, Rebecca corrected the slide, and I had this moment like, 93, wait, 83, I'm like 100 minus 7, 93 days. But how deep do you want to be? If you were here last week and you heard me say the 100-day version of it, and maybe if you're honest, you stumbled a bit because just the tugs of your calendar, I know it's back to school and fall sports for young families and just busy lives, right? There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of invitations to demote God in your schedule. Good things, not sinful things, just good things, busy things. But if you stumbled in getting started with going deeper with God, this would be a great day to start. Be a great day to start. Or maybe this is your first week here. Maybe you weren't here last week. 93 days. And I really pray, just my hope and prayer for our church family, for me, for Kelly, for Faith, for the girls, that you look back when it's Thanksgiving and however you celebrate Thanksgiving, that week you look back and you just have a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, we always do. We should, at least. But you have a lot to be thankful for because you took this seriously. You were not just a hearer of this actual step, you were a doer of it. How deep do you want to be with God? Thanksgiving week. By Thanksgiving week. And what are you going to do today to take a step to go deeper? What is your invitation to re-experience stage one? And so that is what I want to preach about for stage one. Next week, we're going to take a guess. Stage two. And so you have to come back, and we'd love to invite you again. This is the time of year as people start to plan their fall schedule and seasons. Invite people to church. Invite them, a friend or family member that you think, man, it'd be great if they heard this message. You need it. They need it. I love to fill the sanctuary, both services. So this sermon, just like the whole series, is very much to be continued. So let me pray. Let me pray. God, I thank you that, God, for all of eternity, we'll never be able to exhaust your depths. But I thank you, God, that right now, on this side of heaven, that there's invitations to go deeper with you. God, I break off contentment, just a feeling of contentment that I have enough of God. And that, God, that in its place, that there would be a hunger and a desire and a passion and a fire to lean in and to seek you first among everything else. So, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the breath in my lungs to preach this sermon. And thank you for everyone who had ears to hear it. Now may they be doers of it. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. To stay up to date on all things The Mission, you can visit our website at themission.church.